Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series on this blessed Mother's Day. We have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are so blessed on this day. Apologize, we are having some technical difficulties, pretty extreme. I didn't know if we were going to go live at all. We're on the backup system, and hopefully we don't have to go to the backup to the backup, because that would be a problem. So we'll pray. I think it's just a matter of that the computer needs to be renewed or exchanged or a new one. But we'll get through it, I'm sure, through the grace of God. So we're going to begin. What I thought we would do on this beautiful day is we're going to begin with our supplication, which we've been using for the last several weeks, if not longer. On this, the month of Mary, on Mother's Day, and then I thought we would go to Mother Gabriel, how appropriate, for her to open us with prayer. So we're going to begin with a supplication. This comes from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. This is the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven, the soul, us, to our glorious Queen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. The supplication we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it's a joy to be together. We're grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. So if you see me toggling between headphones and no headphones, they're working intermittently. I've got the speaker on. Hopefully we don't get any feedback, and we'll just do the best we can. So I'm going to now, I see San Marino, I see the Mother House, so I'm going to, I'm going to pin the video on both of those locations so that you see the sisters and mother and not me. Okay, so they should be there now. I'm going to now ask them to mute themselves. And
Can you hear us?
Hello, sisters. Yeah.
Here we are.
Hello, everybody.
Here we are again.
Hello, Isn't that a song? Hello. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, thank you. Mother, I thought it'd be so appropriate since
Happy Mother's Day to everyone.
This is Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day, and I thought we just had a great time. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because you're coming in sometimes and not sometimes. I'm so sorry. Like I said, I think I just need a new computer, but we'll do the best we can. Mother, not to put you on the spot, but I do that very well. Would you begin us on this Mother's Day, you being the mother of the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will on this glorious Sunday that we've come together? Can you open us in prayer, please?
Dear Mary, our mother, we ask you to bless in a special way all the mothers who are listening to this program. Give them special graces, especially to live in God's most holy divine will. Hopefully today, if they haven't entered yet in his holy divine will, that they will get that special grace and gift today on Mother's Day to live totally in God's most holy divine will. We ask this in the name of all souls, past, present, and future, and God's holy divine will for the intercession of Our Lady on this special day for all of her children who are mothers. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mother, for that. And thank you, sisters. And again, you know, we may not be able to do the cynical perfectly because of equipment issues, but we're still going to have fun. And we're going to bring the joy of Christ, of his mother, and this gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, the gift of living the divine will on Mother's Day. So just what a wonderful opportunity. And again, we didn't set it up this way, just, you know, mother and the sister in a rotation. And it just so happens that the rotation came on this day. And again, that's not, it's not by accident. That's by design, I'm sure. But mother, you know, I was at mass today, and during one of the songs, I just felt compelled. I brought the Son of My Will with me. I don't know if that's a sin if I'm bringing a book with me to church. But anyway, I was looking at it during the song, meditating, and I was reading in the conclusion, which is really pretty astonishing, because if you think about this book is, it's a biography of Louisa, not a self-biography, not an autobiography, but, and it explains, you know, through the eyes, in essence, of the souls of what Louisa, with a lot of information, of course, of what Louisa, who she was, and what she did to a certain extent. And in the conclusion, which is really astonishing, because again, this is published by the Vatican, a publishing company, and I'm sure that they thoroughly went through everything, because they cannot publish something that's an error, of course, and they wouldn't do that. So of course they haven't. But you know, there's so many things that are in this book that are so astonishing. I mean, on one, on page 222, it just states, and again, this is in the conclusion, it says, quote, this gift of living in the divine will does appear to be the, quote, greatest gift that God wants to give to his people, unquote. It says that in the conclusion. But there's a caveat to that. It says, but in order to understand this gift, it's necessary to take a leap into the mystery that is inexplicable or unable to be explained, but that can be embraced and followed if one so chooses, end quote. So again, we have a choice to believe this or not to believe this. And I think in volume 36, I don't have the volume in front of me, Jesus states that the divine will actually has two opposite effects. To those who are disposed, it's light and life and love. And to those who are not disposed, it's just confusion, total confusion and a lack of understanding. Many times, no fault of their own, but just, again, they're not disposed. And again, we can go back to that mystical gifts. God has granted us a mystical gift, at least one, if not many, which is to recognize this gift to be the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, and to make it our life. Hence, we've got, you know, many, many people joining us on Mother's Day when they could be spending time with their families and friends, and they chose to spend it with our Blessed Mother and with Mother Gabriel and the sisters in Italy. So we're blessed. We've seen the light, and now it's a matter of we know the light exists. Are we going to go toward the light and see it more brightly, or are we going to back up, be afraid of the light, or are we just going to stand still? The latter two are not good. So we just have to keep moving forward, bit by bit. And last but not least, I know this is a very long-winded opening, but this was this caught me by surprise also in the Son of My Will. This, again, in the conclusion, and this is a great way to explain really what the divine will is. Quote, so by the way, this is on page 225, quote, Louisa's understanding then grew to include the mystery of Jesus's work of redemption. In fact, given that the Lord's divinity operated in his humanity, she grasps with clarity that throughout his earthly life, his entire earthly life, Jesus redid for everyone in general and for each one individually everything that each person would have to do for God in his or her life. In the sphere of the eternal will, he could see all of the acts of all creatures, all possible acts that were to come, those not done, and those good acts done badly, unquote. That's our job, to repair and redo. And Mother, how do we repair and redo?
Acts and rounds in divine will.
Here we go. And file acts and rounds under M for Mother, because she constantly reminds us, and for great, great reason she does that, because that's how we do it. Mother, it's glorious to be together. Thanks for spending this time with us.
Okay, I was just reading in volume 21. This is 1927, May 8th. Of everything that also took place in my humanity, Jesus says, the greatest miracle was to restrict all the immensity of my divine will in it. The miracles I made can be called nothing compared to this, more so since it was my nature to be able to give life by making creatures rise again, give sight to the blind, speech to the mute, and all the other miraculous things I did. Indeed, it was my own nature to be able to give as many goods as I wanted. At most, it was a miracle for those who received them. But for me, the greatest miracle was to restrict my divinity, the immensity of my will, its endless light, its unreachable beauty and sanctity within myself. This was the prodigy of prodigies that only a God could do. Therefore, as much as I may give to a creature, I would always give her little in comparison with giving her the great gift of my will. New heavens, more effulgent suns, unheard of things, surprises never before seen, can be seen in her. Heaven and earth tremble and fall on their knees before a soul who possesses the great gift of my will. And with reason, because they see coming out from her the vivifying and creative virtue and strength that preserves them in the new life created by God. O power of my will, if they and you, how many would aspire to your great gift and would give their lives to have it? If only we could see what happens when we do live in his divine will, when we do one act and one act round in divine will. It's a divine act. It's a divine round. It's God doing it within us. It's not us doing it. But we have to invite him. We have to want him to do it. He is doing it within us. He wants us to be aware of that, to acknowledge it, and to be grateful for this great gift. And so great things happen that we don't see. And it's just like Our Lady. Our Lady lived in the divine will, but who noticed that she was living in the divine will? Who recognized what was happening throughout her life, every moment of her life? Louisa, who recognized all the acts and rounds and divine will that she was doing, wasn't until her death that she saw what it was. All these lights that she saw were acts and rounds that she had done in divine will. So, embrace the gift, seek the gift, ask God for the gift, call him into everything you do all throughout the day. And live totally in his divine will, because he told Louisa one act, one round in divine will, loss is a great, great loss, great loss. He wanted her to do them constantly, not that we're aware constantly, but we make that little act in the morning, asking him to do everything in and through us throughout the day. Then throughout the day, you repeat the little ejaculation, asking him to do such and such a work within you. You put your I love yous and everything throughout the day, everything you notice and see. I mean, you could be in your house cooking. You can put an I love you in every pea that ever was and ever will be if you're cooking peas, or chicken, every chicken that ever was and ever will be. You can put your I love yous on that, on every feather of every chicken. You can go on and on and on while you're in the kitchen. You can make lots of rounds and divine will, everything you see. So, even appliances that man made, but God allowed man to make those, you can push I love you on those too, on refrigerators everywhere, every refrigerator, every stove, you can put your I love you on those things. So there's no end to it. You can be very creative with God. He loves it. He wants you to be creative with him.
Mother, it's true. I was meditating today for this month of May. We Mother encouraged us to meditate on the life of our Blessed Mother, the book that he write. And so I meditated on that, and actually on volume 35 also, speaking of, Mother was mentioning about how we can give our love, adoration to God in all creation and do rounds, acts of rounds. Well, I just wanted to begin with my meditation on December 8, 1937, volume 35. And this is about our Blessed Mother, her Immaculate Conception. And in this, December 8, 1937, it talks about how our Blessed Mother is conceived in God and how she is also conceived in creation. And it took me a while to really sink into this. Peter, you talk about the miracles, how we are enlightened with little mysteries, acknowledge, understanding of little mysteries. I feel that I was being fed with a teaspoon, a little spoon of honey, because this was really exciting. I asked myself, okay, so Blessed Mother is Immaculate Conception, and she is conceived both in God and also conceived in creation. And it's hard for me to understand that. How is it, Lord? And he says here, I'll just read what I've highlighted. And the Lord says to Louisa, "My blessed daughter, oh, how many more things I have to say about the conception of this celestial creature. It was a life that we were creating, not a work. There is a great difference between a work and a life. Further, it was a life both divine and human, in which there had been perfect harmony of sanctity, love, and power, such that one life had to be able to match with the other. The wonders we made in creating this life were such that we had to perform the greatest prodigy, a chain of miracles, so that this life could contain all the good that we deposited within her." this passage reminded me of the book of Genesis, where our Blessed Mother was foretold by God after the fall of Adam and Eve that there will be a woman whose son will crush the head of the serpent. So Blessed Mother is the beginning of the Bible. She is already there. So in a way, because she is already in the mind of God, so she is already conceived in the minds of God. And the fact that she is conceived in the mind of God, she already possessed the power, wisdom, love, sanctity, and maternity. And then God also told Luisa, she is also conceived as a human. Both, so she's conceived, she was created was as a life, both divine and human. And I thought to myself, when did Blessed Mother become human? When she was conceived in her mother's womb. So Blessed Mother does have a beginning and the end, kind of like Jesus' humanity. Jesus became flesh, Word became flesh, beginning and the end. But Jesus also existed with God from eternity. And I asked myself, how is it? So is Mother Mary God then? You know, this is the fall of a lot of people. They think it's a heresy, but it's not. Because if you remember, the Jesus being divine is his nature, whereas Blessed Mother's divinity is by grace. So there's a big difference there. And we can all partake that if we listen to our Blessed Mother. We can also partake in that divinity and divine will through grace, by obeying what God wants us to do. And I'll continue to read here down below. And God says to Luisa, so as she ran outside to search for our life, which she already possessed within herself, since a good is never complete if it is not possessed both inside and outside, she remained conceived in heaven and in the celestial spheres whose stars formed her crown, praising and declaiming her as their queen, as she acquired the rights of queen over all the celestial spheres. You know, this passage here reminds me of the book of Revelation, the end of the Bible. So Blessed Mother is in the beginning in the Genesis. She also presents in the Revelations, Revelation 7, when there's a woman crowned with 12 stars, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. And she delivered a child, a son. So this is our Blessed Mother also. At the end of the Revelation, she is our mother. She is the land of our birth, which mystically the church. And I'll continue on reading. Jesus says to Luisa, the sovereign lady makes her power, her love, and her maternity flow in the heaven, in the sun, in the wind, in the sea, and even in the air that everybody breathes. She was conceived everywhere, in every place, and in everyone. Wherever our power was, she would raise her throne to love us and to love everyone. This was the greatest miracle performed by our powerful love, to bilocate her, to multiply her in all things and in all created beings, so that we might find her everywhere and in everyone. And this is exactly what Mother is talking about. You know, it's very important that we do the acts and rounds of creation, because our Blessed Mother is compared to this creation. What did the Lord use here? He used the sun and the wind and the sea, because this creation reflects love of God, and it also reflects our Blessed Mother. And I sat down on here and I said, why, Lord, why did you use this one? And you think about it, the sun itself, it gives light, it gives warmth and heat, and it makes sweet sweeter and the color more colorful. It helps to germinate, it disinfects. And our Blessed Mother has this quality. And also God uses the wind, air, and what does wind and air does? When we breathe, it purifies our body. There's an exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide, not just in animals, but also in plants. So in a way, it is a way also that gives life. And it also, the wind, if you know those who are travelers, we can also use that to direct. And our Blessed Mother also is a reflection of that. God uses the seas or ocean. And Blessed Mother can compare, because our Blessed Mother, like Mother Gabrielle Marie mentioned earlier, all the qualities is hidden in our Blessed Mother. She is hidden. And what did Jesus tell us in the book? That the ocean, it hides all the goods of nature. And also heaven. What is heaven? When I think of heaven, it is a beautiful space, beautiful. It's a beauty, and it's also a space that holds or contain all God's creation. So, yeah. So our Blessed Mother, in a way, is conceived in creation because of the qualities of this creature. The creator is so immense, we cannot contain all of him. Blessed Mother cannot contain all of him because she is only a creature, but she does possess all the qualities of the creation that the Lord did. When I in summary, when I think about, because Jesus, God, okay, I'll continue the last paragraph here. He told Louisa, do you see then the extent of our power and our love in the conception of this holy creature? We reach the point of elevating her to such a height and glory that she can say, whenever my creator is, there I am to love him. He invested me with such power and glory that I am sovereign over all. Everything is dependent on me. My dominion reaches everywhere to the extent that while I am conceived in all things I keep, conceived within me, the sun, the wind, the sea, everything. I possess everything in me, even my creator, and I am the sovereign and the owner of all. This is all of my unreachable height, my glory that nobody can equal, and my great honor. With my love, I embrace all. I love all, and I belong to all. I am the mother of my creator. I am the mother of my creator, and Blessed Mother possessed the creator. And I ask myself, how could this be? And I can only imagine like a drop of water and the ocean. You take out a drop of water from the ocean, the drop of water that is taken out from the ocean, kind of like the image and likeness of God, it kind of the same, what do you call that? The particles that it possesses. But the difference that the ocean, that the drop could hardly do anything. It's almost useless apart from the ocean. But when you put that drop back into the ocean possesses the drop, and the drop possesses the ocean, and therefore the drop can do just as much as the ocean can do. That's the best I could describe it.
Oh, you're right. And actually the drop outside the ocean is going to dry up eventually. But in the ocean, it's sort of protected. You know, early on in that passage, sister, you mentioned, you read that good is not complete unless it's inside and outside. And I think that that's another little piece of the puzzle, because we hear about, you know, that the gift of the divine will is the crown of redemption. It's the final jewel that'll be given by God. And hence the divine will, the way God is working, he's transmuting us. He's changing us from the inside out, as opposed to over the last 2,000 years, we've been changed from the outside in, because the body expresses the soul. So if you fix the soul, you ought to fix the body naturally by doing that. So again, little piece of the puzzle, transmutation helps to complete that act or that good, which is not complete unless it's both inside and outward. And so that's, again, a little piece of the puzzle here and there. That's what God does. He's so creative. He's so ingenious, the way he poetically explains this in a mysterious way. And to those who seek it. Now, for example, if you didn't find the desire to go to that passage, we wouldn't have this little piece of the puzzle. So thank you for that. That's going to happen all day long, every day, as long as we journey listening and reading. Mother?
Yes, I have the perfect passage. In volume 20, it's written November 4th, 1926, which goes perfectly well with Sister Magdalena said. So this is about how God is changing like drops of our human acts, the drops of water into sea. Okay, so my will does not know how to do small things, but all great. And this is so true that it was enough for us to open our mouth to say fiat in order to extend the heaven whose boundaries cannot be seen. One fiat to form a sun that fills the whole earth with light and many other things. This says in clear notes that if my will operates or invests an atom, a little act, that atom, that little act becomes sea. And if it bends down to do small things, it makes up for them with its regenerative virtue, making of them such a great number that man cannot arrive at counting them all. Who can arrive at counting how many fish and how many species are in the sea? How many birds, how many plants fill the earth? Therefore, the little I love you in my will becomes sea of love. The little prayer turns into sea of prayer. I adore you into sea of adoration, the little pains into sea of pains. And if the soul repeats her, I love you, her adoration, her prayers in my volition, and suffers in it, my will rises, forming gigantic waves of love, of prayers and of pains that go to unload themselves into the unending sea of the eternal one, in such a way as to place the love of God and that of the creature in common, because one is the will of both one and the other. Therefore, one who lets herself be dominated by my will possesses as many seas for as many acts as she does in it. And while she does little, she has much. She has a divine volition that delights in making of the little act of the creature a sea. And only with these seas can she impetrate the longed-for kingdom of the divine fiat. This is why our newborn, the little daughter of my will, was needed, so that turning her little pains, her I love you, and everything she does into seas that communicate with the sea of the eternal one, she can have ascendancy to impetrate the kingdom of my will. So like Jesus explained, he does not know how to do small things, but only the great things. And just how small things that Mary did, all she did was so little and nobody recognizes what she was doing. No one knew. Like she was only like praying in the divine will. Like she was doing all the ordinary things, housework, like getting water, lighting a fire, sweeping and mopping. But since she was living in the divine will, she annihilated herself in the fiat, her nothingness into God's all. So she let God to operate in her. She let God possess her. So she was doing God's will. And she was able to bring about the redemption through her small acts, because it was not her doing it, but God doing in her. This is what Jesus is telling us to do. Like he's saying that this is the first step, that we have to really give up and give our fiat, our human will to God, so that he can work in us. Yeah, so in our small I love you, when we do the rounds and acts, when we place our love yous, our adorations, our thanksgiving to God on creatures, on the attributes of God, if we unite it with the acts of God, with the acts of Mary, it's not small drops anymore. It's not the drop of, it's a drop of water that we do, but if we unite it in the divine will, it becomes sea. The I love you becomes the seas of love, and our little prayer it unites with the sea of prayer, and our love, our adoration, our glory to God, it becomes the greatness because we are letting God to do in us.
You know, that was a perfect passage. Yeah, early on also, Sister Gloria, you mentioned something about mouth open or something. I think I heard something like that. All of a sudden, my mind went to Father Celso when he reminds us that, you know, to take in this first bread, which is invisible to the naked eye, of course, that we have to have our mouths wide open like a bird to receive, you know, the food that the mother gives it. And I was thinking, again, Mother, may I be silly just for a moment? Please, I promise to get back on track. But what I'm just thinking about this, and what do we do when we're in awe with something? If we hear a song we like, or we listen, we open our mouths, right? I mean, is this just like a built-in reflex action that we have to want to know more about something we witness? Well, that's what we have to do, I think, with the divine will. Yes, perfect example, Sister Scholastica. So keep our mouths open, again, metaphorically, to receive more because we desire more. you didn't know you're on camera. Thank you, Sister Gloria. Mother?
In volume 21, I was just reading, this is May 8th, 1927. It says, my daughter, one who lives in my will has within herself this divine will dominating and reigning. The soul is the possessor of it. She holds it in her power. And while she possesses the divine will, holding its strength, its sanctity, its light, its goods in her power, the divine will possesses the soul. And by holding her in its power, human weaknesses, passions, miseries, and the human will are kept under the unshakable power and the sanctity of the supreme will. And before this power, they feel themselves lose life. So weakness feels conquered by the irresistible strength of the divine fiat. Darkness feels conquered by light. Miseries by its infinite riches. Passions by its virtues. The human will by the divine. What difference between one who lives in my will and one who only does my will? The first one possesses it and has it at her disposal. The second is submitted it and receives it according to her dispositions. And between possessing it and receiving it, there is as much distance as between heaven and earth. There is as much distance as between one who possesses immense riches and one who receives day by day what is of absolute necessity. Therefore, one who does my will and does not live in it is forced to feel weakness, passions, and all the rags and miseries that are the provision of the human will. So as we live in his divine will, as we call him into all of our activities, we die little by little. We decrease and he increases. We shrink within ourselves and he gets bigger. And that's what we want. We want to die, and let Jesus live in us. So we understand our nothingness. The more we do that, our passions die. We take on God's virtues, God's attributes, and our weaknesses shrink. The darkness in our souls goes away and light begins to shine. And so little by little, we die to ourselves. We realize our nothingness. And as we do that, our joy increases. We get more peace. We're happier. God lives more fully in us. He's more fully alive within us. So, you know, that's why it's so important to do these acts and rounds always as much as you can, so that you can continue to shrink and die to self and grow in that great humility. And then after humility, which is greater than humility, is realizing your nothingness. That's what happens. And so we want to take on God's attributes. We want to become those little gods that he desires us to be, and let him live fully within us.
Yes. And somewhere in the volumes too, Mother, Jesus tells Louisa that, you know, to possess this gift and know nothing about it would be foolish. So that's why we need that knowledge which anchors us in this gift, reading and listening to the divine will, the Virgin Mary, the Kingdom, the hours of passion, as much as we can. And again, to give up even holy things, to put this at the first and foremost position of our prayer life, because again, it's got that effectuating change that it affects all souls, past, present, and future, as opposed to just those around us, if we were just doing those devotions that we had prior to the gift.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we're disciplined, we're happier. If you discipline yourself to read it at a certain time every day, you can find it easy to do it. But if you don't, you probably will let it go very often. And so, you know, we have the oblates, Benedictine oblates of the divine will. And the beauty of that whole community is that they're forced to read it on a daily basis, to try to read it 30 minutes a day. You don't have to read 30 minutes at a time. You may read 10 minutes if it's all you have in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, 10 minutes at night, and you've got your 30 minutes in it. But if you discipline yourself at a certain time every day, you're going to find it much easier to do that. You might want to get up a half an hour earlier every day, and you're going to find it so enriching. Because like you said, Peter, unless you read it, you don't know it, you don't have the knowledge of it. If you don't have the knowledge of it, you can't live in it. Our Lord told Louisa, in order to live in it, you must have the knowledge of it. And that's what these writings are all about.
Yeah, so on this Mother's Day, I was thinking about finding a passage about Mother Mary. And I was thinking about how Mother Mary is the mother and queen of the divine will. And she's a powerful intercessor for all mankind. And we should ask her to help us to live more totally in God's most holy and divine will. And also to learn from her example of how she did acts and rounds every single day, how in the smallest action she did, she gave great glory to God. And we can do that too every single day. We can place, as Mother was saying earlier, we can place our I love yous on the food we're cooking, on the prayers we're saying, on what we see. And I like to read this passage from volume 33, February 4th, 1934. The divine paternity gives her the divine maternity and generates the human generations in her as her children. And Jesus tells Louisa, "Now the celestial queen enraptured us with her beauty, and our love ran, it ran. With her love she wounded us, and our love, overflowing, hid itself in her. And looking through her beauty, and with her love for all creatures, our love poured itself out and loved all creatures with hidden love in the celestial queen. In fact, we loved everyone in her. Through her beauty, they did not seem ugly to us anymore. Our love was no longer restricted within us, but effused into a heart of a creature so holy that communicating our divine paternity to her and loving everyone in her, she acquired the divine maternity in order to be able to love everyone as her children, offspring of her celestial father. As she felt that we loved all creatures in her, so she felt that our love formed the new generation of all mankind in her maternal heart." And skipping down to this passage, "Greater love we could not give to all the generations than giving them this incomparable creature, as mother of all and as bearer of our love hidden in her, so as to feed it to all her children." Reading this passage, I was thinking about how good God is to give us Mary as our mother. And God looked at all the human generations through Mary. And as it said here, through her beauty, they did not seem ugly to us anymore. And I remember reading somewhere earlier in the Divine Will that if God didn't have like these mirrors of people who live in the divine will on earth, then God would have already destroyed the earth if there wasn't like people for him to look at that are like mirrors, like reflections of God. And Mary is that reflection of God. And it's really important, not just on this Mother's Day, but on every single day, to run into the arms of Our Lady and say, "Mama, help me to live in the kingdom of the divine will," and to just make ourselves little and to ask her to intercede for us very much and to remember that she's the mother and the queen of the divine will, and she wants us to walk with us every single step of the way and to help us to live more totally in God's most holy and divine will.
Thank you, Grace. Oh, hi, Grace. Grace, just a quick comment on that, to ask Our Lady also one more thing. We can ask Our Lady to help us feel ill. And that doesn't make any sense, does it? But remember, Jesus, through Louisa, redefines some words, changes the definition of the vernacular. For example, again, go back to Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. Our Blessed Lady says, "Blessed child, I began to feel within me such a martyrdom of love, my love inflamed by the ardent yearnings to reach my son in heaven, so consumed me that my human nature felt ill with love." End quote. And Father Annuzzi describes that. He says, quote, "Here Mary describes the mystical phenomenon that God produces in the soul where he wounds it," I think you mentioned wounds it, "with an infusion of the beatific love of heaven. This phenomenon is also described by St. John of the Cross in his 11th stanza of the Spiritual Canticle, where he writes, quote, the sickness of love that cannot be cured except by the very presence of the image of God," end quote. So it all comes together in a mystical way. Thank you, Grace. Hello, sister.
Yes, I was just reading from May 30, 1925, volume 17. How one who does the divine will is placed in the same conditions as the very blessed. The knowledges of it are like many doors of light, of grace, of divine communications, which are opened. So Jesus said to Louisa, "You are in a condition which is almost similar to the conditions of the blessed in heaven. They have not lost their free will. This is a gift which I gave man, and whatever I give once, I never take back. Slavery has never entered heaven. I am the God of sons, not of slaves. I am the king who makes everyone reign. There is no separation between me and them. But in heaven, the knowledge of my goods, of my will, and of my happiness is so great and so vast that they are filled to the brim, to the point of overflowing. And so their will finds no place to act. And while they are free, the knowledge of an infinite will and of the infinite goods in which they are immersed leads them with an irresistible force to use their will as if they did not have it, considering this as their highest fortune and happiness, but still in spontaneous freedom and of their own free will. The same for you, my daughter. Making my will known to you has been the greatest grace I have given you. And while you are free to do your will or not before mine, your will feels incapable of working. It feels annihilated. Knowing the great good of my will, you abhor yours, and without anyone forcing you, you love to do my will in view of the great good which comes to you. And the many knowledges of my will, which I have manifested to you, are divine bonds, eternal chains that surround you, possessions of celestial goods. And if you wanted to escape these eternal chains, to break these divine bonds, to lose these celestial possessions also in this life, your will, though free, would not find its way out. It becomes confused. It sees its littleness, and fearing itself or a trick of its own, it dives and plunges itself into my will with more spontaneous love. Knowledge opens the doors to the good which is known, and the more knowledges I manifested to you about my will, the more different doors of goods, of life, of grace, and of divine participation I open for you. So again, the knowledge, how it says here, the saints, the very saints, the blessed in heaven, they all live in the divine will, but they still have their own free will. But because they have such knowledge about it, they are so happy just to constantly give over their free will to God. And I was just thinking, you know, how does the intercession of saints works actually? How do they intercede for us, to God? And they have their free will, but they are constantly, you know, like giving it to, but they still have a voice. They have of course, a saint will intercede for you. Like if you pray to a saint, and if your prayer, the thing that you ask for, is according to the will of God, of course, the saint will. Try to help you, you know, because they have also this they are blessed, they are saints, they have this great charity and need to will to help us, and of course they will try to intercede for us with their voice, because they still have their own free will, as it says here. But they are so happy to constantly give it over to the will of God. So it's kind of, I had this question in me since I was a kid, you know, like kind of how does it work, the intercession of saints? And here is the answer. And I was also thinking, and the angel, how do they all the angels, how does that work? And I remember as a kid, I was kind of thinking like the Hail Marys and the beads of the rosary, and each Hail Mary is like a food, a meal of the angels, because like if you don't pray if you don't give them the Hail Marys, they would not have energy to work and kind of to
I like that.
And I mean, actually it's like that, like each prayer kind of like we can put our Hail Marys or our Magnificat or our Father or our Glory Be, we can put on the acts on the creation, of the redemption, on the sanctification, really, I mean, all the like Hail Mary, like that beautiful prayer, it's like you are putting the moment of incarnation on something, on some act, on some around, which is beautiful. Yeah. And I was also thinking another thing about the angels. Of course, they the good angels, no, they all live in the will of God. They're essence is, you know, to do everything for God, to, you know, to love him, to adore him and everything. And we can just, if I came across one prayer, like consecration to your angel guardian and how do you say, patto d'amore, like a pact of love, like a deal of love, that like kind of like you are in the divine will, you are asking the angels who are helping you to like to adore God in your place when you are where you are not actually, I mean, doing it, when you are doing the other things, but kind of like to make a deal of love with them, that they always constantly adore God for you in the divine will, and that you you offer your suffering, you know, also for them, kind of that kind of deal. I'm sorry I don't have this prayer here, but it's really beautiful, you know, like there's this saying when I don't know, you pray but then you fall asleep or something, like also mother was saying, sometimes like ask your angel guardian to finish the prayer for you. But we can actually, you know, in the divine will, ask them all the time, you know, to all the time give glory to God in our place. Yeah, thank you.
No, thank you, sister. You know, you picked on a point there when you mentioned about the saints in heaven, you know, not losing their free will. And that's been a question that many have asked. Well, if they have free will, how come nobody's ever sinned while in heaven? And again, I just read it last night. My mind is so bad. There's a passage where Jesus explains that. He says, actually, when the soul is living in the divine will completely or in heaven, you know, it's the same scenario, that he surrounds the soul with such a protective, sort of like a protective shield. So nothing can penetrate it. There's no inclination for sin. There's no possibility for sin, but yet the free will is still there, which has the option for sin, but never will be exercised. Never, ever, ever. So again, he much more articulately does that. But yeah, they never lose their free will. They still take that to heaven, but they will never exercise to engage their human will. They'll always stay with the divine will. I think that's phenomenal, because that's a pretty good question. How come they never sin in heaven?
Mother? Because their one will is their will is one with God's, and right. That's what we're aiming for to have here on earth, rather than waiting for heaven. That's what I was just reading something today about that. But our Lord was saying to release it in volume 30. This was 1932, May the 8th. He says, my blessed daughter, doing one's will is so very grave that it would be less evil if the creature would impede the course of the sun, the sky, the wind, the air, the water. And yet impeding this course, such disorder and terror would happen that man would not be able to live anymore. And yet this great evil would be nothing compared to the great grave evil of doing one's own will, because with this one impedes the course, not of created things, but of his very creator. So can you imagine how great is one act and one round in divine will? It's greater. It's much worse to not do an act and round in the divine will, he says, than impeding the course of the sun. That's pretty big, you know. So it's pretty big. He said the divine will is greater than redemption. Why? Because his will willed redemption. His will willed everything. So his will is the greatest. His will is greater than his mercy, because he willed his mercy. It says too here, it says, now one, as one does his will, he so tacitly says to his creator, withdraw, as one does his own will, withdraw, I have nowhere to put your gifts. If you speak to me, I do not understand you. Your surprises are not from me. I am enough for myself. And with reason, he says this, because without my will, this is his primary life. He has lost the life and the capacity to where to place my gifts of understanding our celestial language, and makes himself a stranger to our most beautiful surprises. By not doing our will, the creature loses divine life, the most beautiful, the most interesting, most necessary act of his creation. and of how he was created by God. This is the reason why, as man withdrew from our fiat, he disorders himself in a way that every step wavered. Because he detached himself, he rejected the vital act of his life and the stable and permanent act that must live with him as one single act that is our divine will. Given that we feel immobilized by many, because we want to give and we cannot give, we wanted to speak and he does not listen to us, it is as if from a distance we make our sorrowful laments heard by saying to him, "Oh man, stop, stop it. Recall into yourself that will that you rejected. It does not pay attention to your evils. And if you call it, it is ready to take possession of you and form its kingdom in you. Kingdom of dominion, of peace, of happiness, of glory, of victory for me and for you." So it doesn't matter how terrible a sinner you are. He's waiting for you. He says it doesn't matter what evils you have done, what evils you've committed. He doesn't pay attention to that. He just wants you to live in his divine will. You have a quick conversion. You just desire to live in his divine will. He takes over. You have to let him take over. It goes on to say, "Oh, please do not want to be a slave anymore, nor live in the maze of your evils and miseries. Such is not how I created you, but I created you king of yourself, king of all. Therefore, call my will as life, and it will let you know your nobility and the height of your place in which you were placed by God. Oh, how content you will be, and you will content your creator. My daughter, only then does one feel the true life in herself when she enters into my divine will, because in it, the creature sees with clarity her nothingness and how this nothing feels the need of the all, that is, of he who drew her from nothing in order to live. And as she recognizes herself, the all fills her with itself. This nothing feels the true life. She finds the immediate contact of sanctity, of goodness, power, love, and divine wisdom. She recognizes in herself the power of the creative work, its palpitating life, and the extreme need for this divine life. Otherwise, she feels as if there were no life in her. It is only my will that makes her true nothingness recognized by the creature. And it continuously breathes over this nothing so as to maintain the divine life, always inflamed in her, in order to make her grow as a work worthy of our creative hands. On the other hand, without our will, the creature feels as if she were something, and the all remains outside of the nothing. So he says here, the only way to realize your nothingness is to live in his divine will. And the only way to live in his divine will is to call him into all your acts. Do acts in realm and divine will continuously. And that's how you will live in his divine will.
I would just like to add, Mother, you mentioned about that even no matter how big a sinner is, that God is, the divine will is waiting for to embrace. Reminded me of this image also in, I don't remember the volume, but because God is not insecure. He is so immense. He is so great that he can give all of himself without diminishing himself. Just like the sun, you know, the sun can touch the filthiest of all filthiest, and the filthy thing can be purified, can be disinfected without contaminating God. So that's why we don't have to fear to go to God. We can't contaminate him, and he cannot be diminished by giving everything of himself to us.
Yeah. Mother also mentioned about the immediate conversion, you know, and Mother, we and Sister, we've got a great, we have examples of, say, St. Paul and St. Mary Magdalene, that how they had an immediate transformation, never to go back to their old way. I just want to just step in here just before we start getting emails later after this program, because I'm getting some chat personally. But when we say that it's a must to gain in the knowledge, Jesus says that it would be he says ludicrous or something. It would be ridiculous. I think, well, it sounds more like that for someone to possess this gift without knowing anything about it. So we absolutely have to, but we have to be careful also not to fall into the heresy of Gnosticism. We can't say that anyone who doesn't have the volumes of Louisa is excluded from the divine will. That's not true. Anyone can be given the gift of the divine will by God if he so chooses to give it. But if he's opened the door, if he's made access to us to have the volumes, whether it be on the internet, hard copies, he's expecting us to read it. And it is the most direct route other than a direct intervention by him. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I think there are already people that have that infused gift. And I think one day when after the
the world is purified, the church is purified, everyone will be, who is still alive, will be given it as an infused gift. So that's possible, like you said, you know, that God can do it. God can do what he wants. Can't put God in a box, you know.
Right. But how's that gift going to be given, Mother? It's because of the acts and rounds that we now.
Right. So we have to bring it about. He's expecting us. He's depending on us right now to do this.
What a sense of humor God has.
My first passage is from volume 14. Jesus told Louisa, "My daughter, in my will, you will find not only all the acts that my humanity did, in which I braided all creatures together, but you will also find all the acts of my dear mama, braiding themselves with mine, which formed one single act. As soon as I was conceived in her womb, she began the braiding with my acts. And since my humanity had no other life, no other food, and no other purpose but the will of my Father alone, which flowing in everything made me the act of each creature, so as to give back to the Father the rights of creator on the part of creatures, and to give myself as life to all creatures. In the same way, as she began her braiding with me, she too gave back to the Father his rights of creator in the name of all, and gave herself to all creatures. Therefore, all creatures received, together with my acts, the acts of my mama as life." And then moving back to volume 11, October 25th, 1915. This is Louisa. "I was thinking about the passion of my lovable Jesus, and he kept repeating, 'My life, my life, my mama, my mama.' Surprised, I said to him, 'What does this mean?' And Jesus, 'My daughter, as I feel my thoughts, my words being repeated in you, loving with my love, wanting with my will, desiring with my desires, and all the rest, I feel my life being drawn into you and my own acts being repeated.'" So Louisa is being a mother to Jesus, and we're all called to be mothers like Our Lady, sharing in her maternity, bringing Jesus reparation, love and relief, like Mother said, by rounds and acts, and also the hours of the passion. So happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, sister.
I was just looking in volume 3 here. Our Lord, Louisa was saying, "I found myself outside of myself, and in looking into the vault of the heavens, I saw 3 suns. One seemed to set in the east, another in the west, and the third in the south. The splendor of the rays that they sent forth was so great that they united with one another in such a way as to become one. I seemed to see the mystery of the most holy Trinity and man formed with the 3 powers of its image. I also understood that for one who stayed in that light, his will would be transformed in the Father, his intellect in the Son, his memory in the Holy Spirit. How many things I understood, but I'm unable to manifest it." So that's your will becoming one with the Holy Trinity. I think I can turn it over now to the San Marino sisters. Are they ready?
Hello, San Marino. Buenos
Aires. Okay, hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
You know, we've been talking about the knowledge of it, and that's kind of the passage that I was reading today, where he didn't say specifically the knowledge of it, but just kind of going into it. He gives Louisa information, knowledge about his divinity and his suffering, and then afterwards he tells her how to repair for it and all of this. So, you know, in a sense, like if you don't have more the knowledge of it, let me rephrase it differently. The more knowledge you have of it, the more you appreciate it, you know? So I guess if you see it that way, and not like, oh, well, if you do, and then the more you have, the more you appreciate it, because you realize what a great gift it is. So the passage that I was reading today was from volume 12, February 4th, 1919. Jesus talks about his interior passions, that his divinity made him suffer. And I won't, it's quite long, so I won't read it. Just the last part I'll read, but these little things Jesus was saying, that that he didn't entrust his redemption to creatures. He was very jealous of it. And he, of course, because he couldn't trust us, because he said we would give up. We would get tired and give up, because he had to die continuously for not just for each life, but also for each time someone would commit a mortal sin. You know, he's explaining this to Louisa, and how even it started right at his conception. As soon as he was conceived, he started the suffering, the deaths, you know, the many times that he suffered deaths and martyrdoms. And even Our Lady felt it, he said, when Jesus was in the womb. And so he said it was more than nails, like the passion, his humanity, you know, with the nails and the thorns. He goes, the divinity was much more than that. It was like many seas of nails and seas of pain and all this suffering for each time that somebody sinned. He suffered that. And then he tells Louisa, he brings her into his immensity, into his divine will, so she can see it. And after this, she's just, you know, she said that she was dying and seeing her sweet Jesus being killed over and over again, and how many deaths he suffered and how many pains. And the penalty for everybody. He was just like a little lamb that, you know, in the divine hands of God that was being sacrificed for each human being and for each time they sinned. And then he goes, and then after he shows her all of this and he explains all of this, then he tells her, okay, well, now this is what you can do. This is what I want you to do. And he tells her that he said that, okay, my will must be within you as the primary gear of a clock. If it moves, all the other gears move, and the clock signals the hours and the minutes. So all the accord is in the motion of this primary wheel. And if this first wheel has no motion, the clock is stopped. In the same way, the first wheel within you must be my will, which must give motion to your thoughts, to your heart, to your desires, to everything. And since my will is the central wheel of my being, of creation and of all things, your motion coming out from that center will come to substitute for all many acts of creatures, multiplying in the motions of all as central motion, it will come to place before my throne on their behalf. The acts of the creatures, and will substitute for everything. Therefore, be attentive. Your mission is great and fully divine. So, you know, this is a great, it made me really appreciate just the gift of the divine will. And then, you know, as religious, our mission, as we're, you know, we have our life is prayer, you know, our life is to do this, to, and everybody in the divine, everyone's called to repair and to love Jesus on behalf of all. But, you know, us specifically, he is our, you know, we don't have a family or a husband, you know, he is our husband. He is our life. He is our child. He is, and all of humanity is, you know, what he is. So, it just made me think of that and to be very grateful. And it also made me realize, you know, gosh, you know, if I didn't, know much about how much he suffered, I wouldn't be as grateful for this gift. And not just that, but the desire to want to be purified, to want to have his will to be the motion of my thoughts and my heart and my desires and everything, you know. So that is very important. And, you know, and I went for a walk. We live in the historical center of the city, and it's the top of the mountain. And, you know, it's Sunday, Mother's Day. And I went out, and there's a lot of stuff going on all the time. And, you know, and it was, you know, the shops were open and everyone was out and about. And I was thinking as I was walking and praying my rosaries and I was looking at everybody. It's like, gosh, the Lord loves all these people immensely. you know, when it's like, and there, you know, we have adoration. There's always a sister that, doing adoration there during the adoration hours. And how many people go in? And not that many people go in there. But during my prayer time, during, as I was walking and all of this, I'm repairing, I'm offering Jesus all the love and all of this, all the rounds that I'm doing. And for all of them, because that's what he's wants us to do. That's our job in the divine will, to repair him, to love him on behalf of everybody. You know, and this is how, you know, we bring the divine will on earth as it is in heaven, you know.
Sister, what volume was that, the passage you read
from? That was volume 12, February 4th, 1919.
Okay, only because I think it's volume 16, February 2nd. Jesus speaks about something very similar, but he talks about, you know, the cog, basically about this small group of people that he's bringing closer to him so that he may give them something in exchange for their fiat, and that they can help give through Agoras God to others. I first heard that actually passage. I reminded with Grace maybe 3-4 months ago. You know, Grace in the Mother House. It's on the website. Pretty sure it's February 2nd, but it's definitely in volume 16, and it talks about how this, again, this small group, and I have to believe that that's us. He's called us for lack of a better reason. And, you know, last but not least, you know, we talked about Jesus, you know, making addicts out of us. You know, you mentioned every time you read or listen, you know, you get a greater sense of joy, of confidence, of happiness. That's exactly what he wants. He sort of teases us first with the introduction, and then sort of gives us an opportunity to respond, or lack thereof. And when we do respond, he gives us a little bit more, and he keeps feeding us all this delicious food, so we keep coming back for more until finally, one day, hopefully, we're going to receive it in its totality.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you for that, sister. Thank you.
And you know what, you reminded me of what sister was saying. Oh yeah. When you were talking about how the saints in heaven, how they don't sin. Well, I remember he was telling Louisa one time that, because she said that, you know, she didn't know whether she was out of her will or out of his will or not. And she said that you get to a point where you're so far in, you couldn't get out even if you wanted to, you know, so that's where we hope to be.
So true. Hello, sister.
Hello. Hello, Peter. The lesson of today of the Virgin Mary, the lesson number 8, the Virgin Mary talks about trust. She said to trust her. And if we trust her, she will transform our human will in the divine will. And I was thinking, meditating about the word trust, and I felt, wow, how beautiful is that a mother tell us to trust her. And I remember when I was little and my mom, she was say, okay, eat this, trust me, it's good for you. Mm-hmm. Or do this, it's good for you, trust me. And of course, my human will was very strong, even still now it's strong, but it ended up always that she was always right. If I had trusted her, everything would go as she would tell me, without any pain or suffering after. And this is the voice of the Virgin Mary. She tells us to trust her, that everything she will do miracles. So it's very important to do whatever she tells us, or at least to try. And then I also read in volume 23, February 9, 1928, that it goes along with what Sister Magdalena and Sister Gloria were talking about. And it's a continuing to follow the acts of Jesus done in his divine will when he was on earth. I was following mother and son when they fled to Egypt. And I thought to myself, how beautiful it must have been to see their little baby in the arms of his divine mama. Though he was so little, enclosing the eternal fiat within himself, he enclosed heaven and earth. Everything came out from him as the creator. And I lost it, sorry. I lost the spot as the creator the Creator, heaven and earth, everything came out from him, as the Creator and everything hang upon him, and the sovereign queen transfused in the little Jesus by virtue of the same fiat which animated them, formed the reflector of Jesus, his echo, his very life. This is what Sister Maddalena was saying. And then Gloria too, the Virgin Mary formed her reflector of Jesus, his echo, his virtuous life. And this we can also do that if we live in the divine will. How many hidden beauties they possessed, how many virtues of heaven, more beautiful than what than that which can be seen above our horizon. How many more refulgent suns they contained. And yet no one could see anything, nothing appeared other than three poor fugitives. And this is so beautiful because here he's describing how the Virgin Mary, the Holy Family were going to Egypt and they were doing all this. I mean, the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph were carrying Jesus, was carrying this little baby who has all these things coming out from him, all this divinity, but nobody could see anything. Like if someone would see them, it would be like in three normal people. And this is, if we live in the divine will, if we try to live in the divine will, we'll be the same thing. We'll be the same as Mama Mary and Saint Joseph. Nobody will see anything on us, but we will we'll do great things. So it seems like we are not doing anything, but we are doing everything. And also it's so beautiful because it helps us to keep us humble. Because we don't know what we are doing, but Jesus, he see a great light coming from the people who are living in the divine will. So it's good. So we are not we're not becoming proud and see, oh, look what I did, look what I've done. And so it's good. It's good not to know, to have faith and to trust in Jesus and Mama Mary. And then later in the passage say, my daughter, my mama and I were like two twins born of the same labor because we had but one will that gave us life. The divine fiat placed all our acts in common in such a way that the sun was reflected in her and the mama was reflected in the sun. So the kingdom of the divine will had its full force, its perfect dominion within us. And we were fleeing to Egypt. We carried the divine volition as though strolling throughout those regions. And we felt it great sorrow, for it was not reigning in creatures. So I think Sister Maddalena was talking about this, like how the Virgin Mary sometimes, like, I don't know exactly the words, how she used it, but the Virgin Mary is the same as Jesus because they were two twins. They were born from the same labor. They are the same. They are twins. It's not the same thing, but it's like, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. That's basically this. And then in another passage, on volume 27, December 3rd, 1929, here Jesus explained to Luisa the difference between the sanctity founded in the virtues and the sanctity founded in the divine will. Mm-hmm. And basically the first one, founded in the virtues, Jesus gave the example to Luisa how all the plants in the world and the most beautiful flowers, in order to grow, they need to be surrounded of the earth. Otherwise, the roots cannot grow, and they need water and they need everything to grow. So it was saying how. And all this is rooted in the dirt, and in a way the virtues, our our virtues are the same, like we can this it's sorry, let me find the passage so I can read it. Such is the sanctity found in the virtues. The human earth has to place something of its own. How many human satisfactions in the holiest works, in the virtues that they practice. The earth of esteem, of human glory, always runs and forms its little receptacle in such a way that the virtues appear as many beautiful fragrant flowers of such vivid color to arouse marvel. But around them and underneath them, there is always a little something of human earth. And this is the virtues founded in basically on the earthly virtues. But if we put our everything in the divine will, as Mother was saying before, if we call Jesus to do all acts in us and we try to live completely in the divine will, then automatically the light of the divine will make us holy. We don't have to worry about any kind of virtues. I have to practice patience. I have to practice, I don't know, whatever virtues we want to practice. We don't have to worry about that because the divine will automatically will cover everything, and we don't even realize that it comes automatically, and that's the light of the divine will.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to give us plenty of obstacles in order for us to grow our virtues. That's for sure.
Come si dice un concetto?
A concept
that called my attention at the beginning when I was reading the first passages from the Book of Heaven, and I was in a phase in my spiritual life that I was starting to desire to be more virtuous, more perfectly in the spiritual life. So I was reading something about the practice of the virtues, and I was thinking, oh, I have a desire to be more perfect, but what boring is to do all these things. So after knowing divine will, I read these passages. Oh, I say, oh, Jesus, you hear me, because it's a very good thing. I have a good desire to be virtuous, but if I have to think always, I have to do this in better in this way, better in this way, is a mechanic thing. We can have a temptation to be more focused in ourselves. And I think this is the greatest gift, living in the divine will, because also in another passages, Jesus explained to Luisa, all the virtues are like they come from love. So at the top, there is the love, the charity. And if there is charity, charity will put all in order. My meditation is from the book number 7, January 5, 1907. And Jesus, Luisa starts to say, having read about a soul who had scruples about everything and who feared that everything might be seen, I was thinking to myself, and I, how lax I am. I too would like to think that everything may be seen so as to be more attentive to not offend the Lord. Then when Blessed Jesus came, he told me, my daughter, this is nonsense, and the soul remains stuck on the path of sanctity, while true and solid sanctity consists of receiving anything which may happen to her or which she may be doing. Be it even the most indifferent thing, as a speciality of divine love, just as it will be if she found a food enjoyable or disgusting, a speciality of love in the enjoyment, thinking that it's Jesus that produces that enjoyment in the food, and that loves her to the point of giving her pleasure even in material things. And after he said, and just as she must receive everything, everything as a speciality of divine love, she must give everything back to God as a special love of hers. So she must receive the wave of the love of God and must give to God the wave of her love. Oh, what a sanctifying bath is this way of love. It purifies her, it sanctifies her, it makes her advance without her realizing it. It is a life more of heaven than of earth. This is what I want from you. Sin and the thought of sin must not exist in you. So it's a normal to have sometimes in some phases of our life to think about sin because we fall in sin. So we need to go to confession to realize that there is that we commit a sin. But if we think always that we are sinful, if we think always that we are normal, able to do sin, we are always focused on ourselves. We are always in a state of, we are always worried. And if we are worried, we are not in peace. And if there is no peace in ourselves, we cannot hear the voice of God. We cannot hear his love for us. It's not easy. I think this is very simple in one way, but in one way, in the God's way, because he's teaching us something that is very simple because he is simple. But we are some many times complicated. We think, oh, I'm thinking that I am a sinner. I have focused on myself, so I'm doing something good. No, it's not in a holy way to love Jesus. And these passages also remind me the beginning of the book of Our Lady, when she said that when she starts to enjoy this relation with God, with the Holy Trinity, all was changing of love. So Our Lady receive waves of love from God and she give back to him. And so this is the important things to do. How many times we go to confession and we say, thank you, God, because you've forgiven me. No, many times we say, probably I forgot some sin. We are always focused on ourselves. Oh, probably I am not complete forgiven by God because I probably forgot something. This is our way to thinking about confession. Confession is a sacrament, is something that asks our cooperation, real big cooperation, but it's a mystery. Is that every time we go to confession, we receive the blood of Jesus, and is something that we cannot explain in words. And also, after this passage, January 10, 1907, I think this Jesus is spoken, when almost at the end, he said, where one's own test is present, the divine test can hardly be, even in the very holy things. So in receiving my gifts, graces and favors, she must not appropriate them as her own things, making of them a taste for herself, but must keep them as a divine testis, using them in order to love the Lord more and being ready to sacrifice them to that very love. So in one way, we are we have to correct ourselves, I think also for myself first. It's more easy for us examine ourselves about the sins, but probably we are not more able to correct ourselves, to put away, is more important to take away from ourselves, our human will, our human desire, our human, he said, own taste. Not only human will, but own taste. So it's if God give me some situation in my life that I don't like, but in very simple way, is more important to die to myself than to be focused on the sins. And the last passages is for volume 8, if I find it. Okay, is about confession. And Luisa saying, volume 8, July 14, 1907. Continuing in my usual state, Blessed Jesus came for a little while, and without thinking, I asked, Lord, yesterday I went to confession. If I had died, since confession remits sins, would you not have brought me straight to heaven? And he, my daughter, it is true that the confession remits sins, but the surest and the most certain things to be exempt from purgatory is love. Love must be the predominant passion of the soul. Love her thought, her world, her movements. Everything must be enveloped by this love. In this way, finding her, O love, the uncreated love absorbs the created love within itself. In fact, purgatory does nothing but fill the voids of love that are present in the soul. And once it has filled these voids, it sends her to heaven. But if these voids are not there, it is not something that belongs to purgatory. So I think yesterday or today we was hearing a little catechesis about the mass, and the priest said we are at the point of the dead. We are like a photography. If you take a photo, you are stopped in a specific moment. So when we die, at the point where we are living, that is our stop. So it's better if we focus on love. So if we die, if now I am thinking of love and I die, I go straight to heaven. If I think, oh, I am sinful, probably I go to purgatory. So better to think about love. We go straight to heaven.
Good advice. Thank you so much for that. Anything else, Sister Fanya? We're coming down to the end of our time here. Anything else from San Marino, or are we sending it back to the Mother House?
We'll give it back to Mother again.
Okay.
I was just reading in volume 6. It was May 9th, 1905. It says, and why can the soul, our Lord was saying to Louisa, united to grace, not do in advance everything that death must do to her nature, that is, making it die in advance for love of God to everything to which it will have to die. But only those who dwell continuously with my grace come to have this blessed death, because by living with God, it is easier for them to die to everything that is fleeting. And as the soul lives with God and dies to all the rest, her very nature comes to anticipate the privileges which must enrich her at the resurrection. That is, she will feel spiritualized, deified, and incorruptible, in addition to all the goods in which the soul will take part, feeling herself the partaker in all the privileges of divine life. In addition to this, there is a distinction of glory which these souls will have in heaven. They will be so different from the others as heaven is different from the earth. Having said this, he disappeared. So if you don't want to go to purgatory, die now. Die now, because otherwise you have to go to purgatory and do it. Because in heaven, you have to be perfect. You have to reach perfection, either here or in purgatory, before getting to heaven. But if you live in his divine will, it's easier and quicker to reach perfection, because you're allowing him to do it within you. So he's saying, why wait? Why wait until heaven, or until your death, to finish dying? Die here, and you won't have to have any finishing to die in purgatory. You can go straight to heaven. So he said those who live in his divine will, I'm sure live in his divine will totally, will have no purgatory. They go straight to heaven.
We're already living in heaven.
Yeah.
Jesus said that we live in the divine will now.
Yeah. If we live in perfectly in the divine will. Yes. Yeah. But I don't think I am. So, you know, I am. I try, you know, I'm hoping to. But we still go to confession, so we're still sinners. But I mean, Louisa still went to confession too, and she was living in the divine will. So I guess it's possible. To live in divine will, still have your faults and failings to confess. So.
And die now and have the resurrection of our will. Sister Gloria.
Yes. Actually, I wanted to share a little bit about the seventh day of the Virgin Mary book. I'm going to just read short sentences. And this is how God loves us. And so Our Lady said to Jesus, to Louisa, we want a safe met in any cost. But there are no other ways to save him, no other ways out, other than for the eternal word to descend, assume his guise, his miseries, his sins upon himself, become his brother, conquer him through love and unheard of pains, and give him so much confidence as to be able to bring him back again into our paternal arms. So which God on earth, you know, is willing to die for his creatures? But our God, our Father, he's willing to die for us and take upon our sins, taken upon our sins, upon himself, and, you know, become our brother and conquer him, not through like the punishment or, you know, but only through love and unheard of pains. And this is, and Our Lady's in the beginning of the book, she said that she's knocking on the doors of our hearts, holding this book as a heavenly present. So she really wants to teach us step by step how to live in the divine will. And we have a mother who's so holy, so pure, and so beautiful. And she only wants to make us happy and bring us back to God. And she's willing to suffer everything for that purpose. And it wasn't only a moment or a single act that she didn't do what she wanted, but it was throughout all her life, every moment and every act, she didn't give life to her own human will. And this is really the sacrifice of the sacrifices. And she said that from the moment she was conceived, she carried out, she carried us in her hearts. This is how much she loves us to be our God before, to be our mother before God. So especially this month of May, I really hope that everyone reads the Virgin Mary book and prays to her.
Yes, and to add to that, sister, in day 15, Our Lady also articulates, she says, quote, "I did not carry out any of my acts without having my child present. It was precisely for my children that I prepared the kingdom of the divine will." Unselfishness to a T. So, Mother, is there anything else you want to add? I know we're a little bit out of time here, as always.
Just say again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and the mothers-to-be. Happy Mother's Day. And let us really give honor and glory to our own Mother in Heaven. We crowned Our Lady today. You might want to crown Our Lady and do the consecration to Our Lady and do the litany to Our Lady. Pray rosaries every day. If you don't pray them all the time, pray them at least in the month of May, but hopefully you do them all year. Pray the rosary every day, but that's what Our Lady asks for. But give her special honor today on Mother's Day.
Amen. And Mother, as we are concluding our Mother's Day all around the world, I thought it'd be appropriate that we journey with Our Lady on the last days of her mortal life. That's found again in Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31, the lesson of the Queen of Heaven. Quote, "Before departing from my heavenly homeland, I returned again to Jerusalem with my beloved John. It was the last time that I would walk the earth in mortal flesh, and all creation, as if realizing this, prostrated itself around me. As I passed by, all creation, from the fish of the sea to the tiniest bird, wanted to be blessed by their queen. And I blessed them all and extended to them my last goodbye. Then I arrived in Jerusalem, and withdrawing into the little home where John had brought me, I enclosed myself in it, never to leave again." End quote. Wow. Mm-hmm. Our Lady. Mother, thank you so much for being a mother. And sisters, thank you so much for joining today. All your invaluable input just makes this enjoyable and rewarding. And what I'd like to do now, I'd like to open up everyone's microphone to allow them to unmute and say goodbye to you. If I can do this, let's see. Okay, I think everyone can unmute themselves now.
Thank you. Alert from Barbara Freeman.
Who's that?
Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, happy sisters.
Mother's Day. God bless you, sisters.
Thank you, sisters. God bless
you all.
Thank you, Peter.
Home has left the meeting.
Happy Mother's Day, Mother Gabriel.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters.
Bye, sisters.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Has left the meeting alert. Mary Bola has left the meeting alert. Linda Ryovsky has left the meeting alert.
Lots of people are leaving.
Speech mode off.
I'm sorry, that's me. I was putting my speech on so that I knew I was on.
No worries. We just found out who left early. No worries.
I have a screen reader, sisters.
No, we're happy about that. Thank you.
Thank you, sisters. God bless you. Thank you, Peter.
Bye.
God bless you.
Bless you.
And if you haven't had enough of Mother and the Sisters, you can join Mother and the Sisters every Thursday live on Radio Maria at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm sure we'll send out advance notice of that before this Thursday comes. So again, thank everyone. Thanks be to God. To all mothers out there, blessed Mother's Day. And may we all remember our Mother of Mothers on this Mother's Day. Thank you again, Amen. Mother Gabriel Marie and the Sisters. Thank you so much. Love everyone.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sisters.